It's 29 minutes to 12, live in 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Well, Darren, I'm really delighted to have on the phone a person who is really incredible, is remarkable in her journey and what she's undertaken during her lifetime. She received an AO in 2006. Just to give you some ideas about the calibre and pedigree of the person, was named in the Australian Financial Review in 2019, I think, as one of the most influential 100 women in public policy. She was the third Chief Minister of Australia's Capital Territory. She worked beyond blue from 2012, I think, to 2014, and has done many, many other things. Her biography will take longer than I think the interview, but I mean, that's a tribute to the person. And today I really want to home in on what this person has been able to achieve and do for small business since 2016, when she was elected or given the prestigious role of the Ombudsman for Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise. And that's none other than Kate Connell. Good morning, Kate.
Hi, Jim.
Well, that just about does our interview now, because it takes so long to let our listeners know what great things you've done. And I could go on and on. I mean, you have an honorary doctorate. Your career was in pharmacy. We try to do our research on this show because we invite people who we think have made a difference and continue to make a difference in people's lives, and to be quite honest, still have their feet on the ground. So we're in a very fortunate position to have people like yourself who have a great story to tell. Today, we want to just home in, if we may, and we'd love you to keep coming back and telling our listeners and people, you know, the things that you do. But, you know, in your role, what do you provide for small business? I mean, they are the backbone of Australia and very, very important. And I want to, in a moment, lead you into talking about COVID-19, because you have been very stringent and focused on trying to alleviate, where possible, the horrendous and unprecedented impact that that's having on small business. So please tell your story.
Look, Jim, what my office does, and, you know, I suppose the reason I took this job, and, you know, I'm blessed to have it, is that it does two things. First off, it's a statutory role. So I'm appointed by the Governor General. We have a piece of legislation, so I don't report to the government of the day. We work with all sides of politics, with industry associations, with all sorts of people. And my boss is small business. That's who I work for. And small business is defined as under 100 employees, which is about 99% of businesses in this country. And we do two things. One is we have an advocacy role, again, set up in legislation, which requires us to, or allows us to do inquiries into various things that are affecting small to medium businesses, to give advice to government on issues in the SME space, to get involved in research where necessary. So we have an advocacy role, but we also have an assistance role, which is probably more traditional ombudsman role. So we do one-on-one support for small businesses that have a problem with government, with a big business or whatever. Somebody's got a problem with a contract, hasn't been paid, you know. There's a whole range of issues. And at the moment, you can imagine a lot of the cases we're dealing with are COVID-related issues surrounding landlords, suppliers, banks, government. You know, you can imagine it's those sorts of issues. So I have two teams. One is an assistance team. The other's an advocacy team, but everybody in my office has a background, either personally or via their family, in small business. So when you talk to someone in my office, they get it. Mm-hmm. They know what it's like to have your house riding on it. They know what you know, what it's like to work in the SME space. And, you know, just one area that I think is really important for my background, really, is that I ran my own businesses for 15 plus years. You know, I bought my first, I'm a pharmacist, so little pharmacies, you know, house riding on it, all those sorts of things, looking after staff, doing all the things that you do in small business, having success stories and failures. I opened a pharmacy in Cairns with a mate of mine 8 weeks before the pilots' dispute in 89. Cairns stopped, just like it has at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my not-so-great business decisions. But, you know, the fact is sometimes you just can't predict what will happen, and that's what's happening at the moment with COVID. No business person can feel in any way personally responsible for what's happening to their business right now. No one could have planned for this.
And I want to explore that in a moment a little bit more. But I looked at length at your website, and it really tells a story about your conviction personally and also your organisation to small business. I was very interested in the tab that looked at franchising disputes. And yes. I think that's very important, because franchising has been such an important part and a growing part for many small businesses. Walk us through that, please, Kate.
What we do, Jim, is we administer the franchising code of conduct on behalf of the government. We also, of course, though, do individual disputes under our own mm-hmm. ombudsman function. So we deal with franchisees and also franchisors from time to time that have a problem, because, you know, there's some franchisors that aren't all that big either, I'd have to say. But predominantly it's franchisees where they've got a problem with a franchisor, with a contract, with an approach that a franchisor might have taken. And what we do is we use alternate dispute resolution, where we have a sort of a sign on the wall saying, the court system is not good for small business. Getting into the court system is inevitably a way to go broke quickly. The court systems take too long and they cost too much. So what we attempt to do is get the franchisor and the franchisee around a table with an experienced mediator to come up with a solution. But I have to say, often we can get a solution even before that by us just writing, letters, from me with to a franchisor to explain the situation that a franchisee might be having, to seek, the franchisor's side of the story. But, it's fascinating, Jim, how often people at the top of organisations have no idea what's mm-hmm. happening in middle management, shall we say, in big entities, and regularly the franchisors are horrified that a franchisee might be being treated really badly and fix the problem quickly, which is, the ultimate outcome that we're after. If that doesn't happen, though, we go to mediation, and mediation is successful in the majority of situations.
Well, I think that's a fantastic parachute, if you like, in the sense that small business has that comfort to be able to utilise the resources that you provide.
Alive 90.5. 70 minutes to 12. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
Kate, and I was very much taken back by this, was an examination of the Tax Concierge Service. I thought that was a very interesting and well put together piece of framework. Can you explain to our listeners what that's about? Because that is very daunting for small business. They see it as a cost. It can be a real burden to small business.
Look, absolutely. And, there's probably nothing more scary, I'll put my old small business hat on, mm-hmm. than the ATO telling you owe them money, or coming to do an audit and, telling you that there are issues and, here's the bill, and you believe it's not right. You believe that they're not, that they haven't got it right, but the ATO are often not all that easy to deal with in those situations.
And now, that's a perception. That clearly is a perception. I've just got to say that, Kate, yeah. In the humdrum of a daily battle of business, you know, saying you own the tax department, say $36,000, just floors you.
It does. And for many businesses, that's, you know, the end of the business. You know, if they have to pay that amount of money, they don't have it. So they get really, really concerned and worried and don't know how to, you know, to deal with the situation. The court system isn't an option because it's too expensive. And so what we do is we can help them identify what the problem really is. If they need to go to the AAT, the Admin Appeals Tribunal, which is the, you know, the inexpensive way to go, but we can support them through our concierge service in that process. So we can help them with some legal advice, some free, some at a very reduced price, like $100 or something. So we can help them get some justice in a way that's affordable and time efficient as well. And of course, while these processes are going on, the ATO can't continue to take action. They have to stop. So it helps small businesses avoid the court system, because, you know, once it's in the court system, these issues, we can't do anything, because the court system, as we know, takes precedence. So it's always a good idea to come to us first before you end up in court, because at that point the court will run its course. Nothing we can do about it.
It's really amazing. I really ask our listeners to go to the website asbfeu.gov.au and have a look at just the marvellous things that are there to help you. Kate's organisation is in parallel with you. It's a handout to try and help you through the journey of business. Kate, my last question to you, I can't believe you to come
just
back.
Just a moment, we're free, remember. Nothing that happens in my office.
Our listeners love that. Kate, can you say that again?
1 cent. Yep.
Can you just say that? Sorry, I was being a little silly then, but that's so important for our listeners to understand that.
Yeah, look, it is. I mean, if we have to, you know, get some legal advice, there might be a small cost, but it won't be much. It'll be a subsidised cost. But for the work my office does, and we do have some in-house lawyers and, you know, lots of people who understand small businesses, there is no cost at all. So you can come to us and not feel worried that there's, you know, that there's going to be costs you can't afford.
That is such positive and heartening news. Kate, my last question to you, because we've spoken before this, I know COVID personally is something that keeps you up at night because you worry about people. Yep. You're a person that loves people. What are you trying to do through your organisation to help them through this? Because it really is unprecedented.
Look, what we're trying to do is make sure people have got the right information. You know, because, you know, the information changes all the time here, and so it should, because COVID changes all the time, and the number of cases, and, you know, Victoria right at the moment with you know, level 3 and level 4 lockdowns changes the rules. So what we're trying to do is make sure people have access to information in simple terms. There's part of our website called My Business Health. And what that's got is a rundown of support that's available from the federal government, but also from state governments, which are all different. And we try to keep that up to date all the time. But, of course, you can always ring my office as well, and we have real people. You don't end up offshore somewhere. We have people who understand small business. So we've got information there for people who have got a problem. But, you know, if they've got a problem, say, with a landlord, you know, we'll help you with that. We'll get you to the person who can help you most. We'll make sure you understand what's available. Similarly with banks, we do lots of disputes with banks. And importantly, we also deal directly with the ATO and Treasury, where we believe there are gaps in the system. And there are gaps, and the ones we've tried to close, some we have, some we haven't. But if we don't know what people are actually experiencing out there, you know, we can't work on your behalf. And that's our job. That's what we are here to do. And look, just recently, we've done a piece of work on insolvency practices for Australia. Now, that sounds dreadful, but we know that there's a number of businesses who might not get through this. And what we're saying to businesses, if you're worried, please go and get some professional advice from your accountant or your bookkeeper. Put together a plan, because you really have to determine whether you're viable going forward. Worst thing in the world is to do what so many small business people do. I've done it, and that's just, you know, sort of keep going with a business that simply isn't working, because all that happens is that your liabilities go up, you know, what you owe goes up, you know, the downside of, you know, of dealing with banks and others gets worse and worse. You know, it's best to make a call earlier rather than later. But but what I'm hoping is that people can put together a viability plan and work out how to take their business forward. You know, how to maybe digitise your business, pivot your business, look at different ways that you can fix your cash flow, address your expenditure. You know, it's scary, all of this at the moment, but I tell you what, the fundamentals are the same. You know, you've got to have more revenue than you've got expenditure, and you know, we over the next 12 months, your capacity to run your cash flow as tightly as you can will make the difference between success and failure.
Well, I've got to say, Kate, we cannot hear on behalf of Spotlight thank you enough for just your approach to helping small business Australia-wide. You have a number there where people can ring in, 1300 650 460. What I love is you're open from 8 to 8. So that you can facilitate real business needs, and I thank you for that. Kate, thank you for joining us this morning, and we would ask you if you would come back later and continue to tell us the strategies that you're trying to continue to help small businesses in Australia.
Look, I'd love to do that, Jim, and I'd really love to talk about some of the great success stories we're seeing out there at the moment. You know, it's amazing what small businesses are doing to stay afloat, to change their businesses, to ramp them up. And, you know, sometimes we're, in fact, regularly seeing businesses that are actually trading better than they were pre-COVID. Yes. And that's just so uplifting, really.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning, and we will take that invitation up as well. Kate Cornell, have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining us on Spotlight today.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, that was Kate Cornell, an amazing person, Darren, her story and what she continues to tell. And the interesting thing I like about Kate is not only telling, she does it. And as she rightly pointed out, she has legislative powers. She, for want of a better word, doesn't toe the line of the government. She's objective and, in fact, puts them in their place with regards to how businesses. And one of the things I know Kate's very big on is looking at the whole area of payment from governments to small business, getting it within that 30 days. Look, that was great, and I certainly would like her to come back.
It's great to have an independent resource available for small businesses, and surely we can have some great stories to share about the successes of the Ombudsman.
Alive 90.5.